from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Under.
Hey, Matt. Good morning. Hey, Matt, just want to talk about the boys in blue. Hey, Matt, how's Kansas City? Have you tried the barbecue? Hey, Matt, what's new in the clubhouse? The bullpen and the lineup, too. Hey, Matt, how was the road trip? Bob and Josh want to know. Hey, Matt, what do you think of Slugger and AM Radio? Hey, Matt, is it true you're a deadhead too? Hey, Matt, kid baseball, wanna talk music with you? Hey, Matt, hey, Matt, hey, Matt.
Skipper joins us each and every week, normally on a Wednesday. Today on a Tuesday, brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team. KC-based and female-owned, Century Roofing at CenturyRoofingKC.com. I'm saying Tuesday as much for everybody as it is for
you.
Days get blended together.
Right.
Today's a Tuesday,
but it's a Wednesday in baseball terms. Yeah. All right, Skip, as Ricky once said to Lucy, you've got a lot of explaining to do. We had seats ready to go. You got ejected. We literally talked about it the day before. And then you get bounced and you don't come up. What the heck?
Yeah, I don't think that would have been a good look. I don't think that would have been a good look to go up in uniform. I honestly didn't know my limited number of ejections. That's the first one at home and the first one that wasn't in like the eighth or ninth inning. So I was trying to figure out what to do with myself for those few innings.
Yeah, because as soon as you were kicked out, guy behind me goes, is he coming up? Like, people were ready for you to come. Like, you would have been the toast of the town. You would have had all the free beers and hot dogs that you wanted up there. People were legitimately excited that, like, what are the odds? He got tossed the day after. He said, yeah, I'll come up and sit with you if I get thrown out. And then he got thrown out. We're like, yeah, let's go get up here.
Yeah. No, I don't think that would have gone over too well, especially with JJ and the guys in the office that was in the stand.
Yeah, we would have handled that with that behind the scenes.
And I will apologize because, as Bob pointed out, I may have texted you before you even got back to the dugout when that happened. So it might have been a touch too soon,
right?
Encouraging you to come up and sit with us, but you know, we tried.
Nevertheless,
well, I did not see that because they actually have people in the clubhouse monitoring whether. You're on your phone. You're not allowed to use your phone during the game, so players or staff. So if that does happen or a player comes out of the game, they're not allowed to get on their phone.
Oh, really?
Which makes sense. So I didn't have to apologize, but I am, because it was it was a little soon.
It was like the text, like your foot did not hit the cement in front of the dugout. My phone, I'm looking down, and Josh's like, Skip, we got the seats for you. Let's go.
It was on top of my mind. Sometimes you just have to text when you can remember to do it.
So right.
It was just happened to be top of mind.
So what did you do when you got tossed? You go sit in the batting cage in the air conditioning and watch with binoculars through the screen?
Well, they can't. There's so many things that have changed in recent years. You know, you can't watch a live feed of the game. There's a 14-second delay or something. So you don't know exactly what has already happened. But you have the TVs on. Every TV in the clubhouse has the same feed, the same delay. So I was just trying to figure out where to go. I was in my office. I was in the weight room. I was in the training room. I was just bouncing around just to figure out where the best spot to be was.
See where the shortest delay was on the television. Oh, that one looks like it's 12 seconds. I got to be there. That's funny, though. Like, where am I supposed to go? Because somebody tell me where I'm supposed to go here.
Well, also the fact that they put it on a delay. So, like, the guy gets kicked out of a game, can't, you know, coach or manage from, you know, behind the scenes, huh?
Well, I think that all goes to the recent years of, like, pitch tipping and not being able to get live information to the dugout and those kinds of things. I think there's multi-level reasons for it. One is the gambling aspect, and the other is the cheating aspect of, you know, what was happening live and what people could see behind the scenes that might help in the game. So the delay is supposed to help avoid all of that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I guess it makes sense. At least you weren't banging on trash cans back there doing something, you know, Houstonian on us. I get the impression, and you can obviously speak to this better than we can, but man, Salvi seems so rejuvenated with the success you guys are having this year. What's it been like with him this season?
I agree. And, you know, and to be honest, that's something that we really thought was a big important part of putting a really competitive team on the field, was to help get Salvi back to where, you know, where he rightfully belongs and where he's been with the Royals in the past. And, you know, cause you look at the pictures of the back then when the Royals were winning and Salvi was a huge part of it, just the joy that he brought every day. And, you know, to his credit, he did that last year too, but it was, you know, it's hard when you're losing, and when you have a competitive team every night, that joy that you guys have all seen for years, the big smile, the huge personality, all the things he does for the team and the community, you know, it's so much fun to see him having fun and embracing the guys that are, you know, in some cases 10, 12 years younger than him and being a part of the development of their careers. It's really special.
Matt Cotrero, Royal Skipper, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals continue their road trip into Oakland tonight, 8:40 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. It sounds like you got quite a few guys kind of on the mend. I know Waka had a really successful start, I believe, in Arizona. Renfro not as bad as we initially thought. Michael Massey on the mend. Kind of give us an update on those three.
Yeah, Waka had a great night. You know, four innings. I think it was 48 pitches, was able to go throw another 15 to 20 in the bullpen. So no reports of him feeling anything in his foot. You know, we'll see how he bounces back today. But yeah, that would be a huge benefit for us to get him back. Renfro, we dodged a bullet there. You know, the initial look was that it was broken, and then subsequent exams showed that it wasn't. He's made great progress, so he might only be on for the 10 days that he's required. And then Massey's going out on rehab tonight. He'll start DH'ing in Omaha tonight. And so that'll just be a day-by-day thing, see how his back responds to the workload and the increased volume and, when you start facing 95-plus and how it feels to foul one off or swing and miss or run and slide and all those things. So, but all three are encouraging right now.
Yeah, that's really good because, you know, you look around what's going on in baseball right now. Obviously, the Phillies lost a big, you know, part of their lineup with their catcher going down with the meniscus tear. You guys have been, you know, healthy, knock on wood, for the better part of this season. A couple of things here or there that you've been able to overcome. Do you guys do anything like preventative wise to help these players throughout the course of the season, or is a lot of it just luck in avoiding injury?
Yeah, good question. I think they have a lot of preventative measures, you know, and I think a lot of teams use that. When it's a position player, you know, you try to monitor fatigue and workload and those kinds of things, and for hamstrings, for obliques, backs, like the things that tend to pop up. I mean, there's been tons of studies of what times of year certain injuries happen more, whether it's, you know, running injuries, throwing injuries, those kinds of things. So, yeah, our medical team does a tremendous job of trying to get out in front of those things. The pitching, you know, at the early part of this season, we were talking a lot about the workload for the starters because they were throwing so well and throwing so many innings. You know, and so we have to be cautious of that. But really, it's a lot of communication with the player because they have to be honest with how they feel. They have to let us know if things are starting to creep up on them. And then, you know, the little things, you know, that you can't predict, like Waka and Renfroe, you can't be out in front of that kind of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, the soft tissue stuff is what you try to prevent.
So when the guy gets like a little banged up, are most of them, I don't want to use the term afraid, but not like really forthcoming with some of their maybe smaller ailments that could turn into bigger ones, and you have to try to find a way to convince them to say, hey, dude, it's okay. If something's bothering you, it's better to let everybody know so we can minimize it instead of letting it become something big?
Absolutely. Yeah, nobody wants to be hurt. They all want to play every day, you know, but that's part of the benefit of having a deep roster too, and being able to use all, you know, 13 position players and all 8 guys in the bullpen, you know, somewhat equally, is that, you know, you're not burdening one person with the entire load. And that's, you know, something we've done. And sometimes it's even just a little thing. If, you know, either you're up big or you're down big and you get somebody like Salvi or Bobby out of there for an inning or two, you know, and you just minimize a little bit of the running they have to do or being on their feet, try to get them a little breather. And then you try to do the best you can with off days and working them in around team off days. So maybe it's a couple days in a row, or, you know, you DH somebody to give them a little less running. So you try to do things like that. But, I mean, I don't think there's any foolproof method. It's just a matter of trying to listen to the player and listen to what the, you know, communication with the staff throughout the days and see where they are mentally and physically.
When we hit the start of June, I think fans and probably some analysts kind of looked and saw a bunch of like first place teams, and it was kind of like a barometer for where you guys were. Did you look at that? Do you look at a schedule like that at all? Or is it really in the series by series? How do you break down a schedule, or do you?
I do not. You know, that's one of those things I don't find a lot of value in that, because, you know, you can look at a spot in a schedule where you have teams that aren't in first place, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to say, hey, you guys win tonight. So, you know, every day is a competitive day in the big leagues. Every day these guys are trying to win every night, and it doesn't do me any good to look ahead at a whole month, because so many things can happen. Even at a whole series, really, it's one day, one pitch at a time, because there's no guarantees in this game. You can have your best pitcher against, you know, somebody that might not be as accomplished, and all of a sudden you get bit and you lose the game. That's the beauty of playing every day in baseball, is you got to have the consistency and you got to do it day in and day out.
Yeah, I know we talked about this last year when you guys were in Oakland, but now that it's inevitable that these guys are moving to Sacramento, like, what are you expecting atmosphere-wise there for the next 3 days?
Yeah, you know what? I had not even considered that. I hadn't thought about that. This will be the last time for here. That's right.
Yeah. You going to steal something?
Take some out of the visitor's clubhouse?
Rip a urinal off the wall, carry it out the door with you?
I'm glad you brought that up, because this place has been such a big part of the history of the game and the really good teams that they've had here over the years. And I've actually been here, been a part of a playoff game here in 19, and it was electric. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere, it was very football-esque, you know, like the stadium was packed for our visitors BP, and they were chanting and booing and everything, and just the fan support that they've had and the history of some of the huge moments in the game here. That's something I'll have to take in a little bit more. But I don't know, as far as atmosphere, I doubt the Royals are a huge draw in Oakland on a Tuesday night. So, I wouldn't expect it to be a packed house.
Yeah, it really is sad because you hate to see teams move that truly do have this fan support. And that's what's really stunk about Oakland. You know, the Warriors moved to San Francisco. The Raiders moved to Las Vegas. The A's are going somewhere. And it's not because they don't have the fan support. It's just because it just doesn't work for whatever reason in that city. You hate to see these teams rip from their fans.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. And like I said, it was only 5 years ago that I was part of that wild card game here, and it was amazing. And you've seen they've had so many good teams, you know, going back to the 70s, you know, and the three in a row and all those kinds of things. I mean, just some of the most iconic figures in the game. And I never saw this stadium prior to them building the Mount Davis, they call it, the
right
thing that, you know, but they said it was just a gorgeous stadium in the days before that. And this playing surface is still really nice here. And the people that work here are very, you know, very friendly, and they're great to be around and to work with as a visiting team. So, yeah, you never feel good when a team loses their city, you know, and especially one that's had the history the A's have.
All right, let's play the baseball card game. You ready?
I am ready.
All right, if you get this one, my goodness, you're a hero. Because I'd never heard of this gentleman until I pulled the card.
Oh, okay.
1988 score, Wally Ritchie.
Ooh, no.
No.
Wally Ritchie.
No, right?
No.
No. Phillies, relief pitcher for the Phillies. I've never heard of that guy.
I'll have to do a deeper dive on that one. Yeah.
88 score again, Ozzie Guillen.
88, Ozzie Guillen.
Don't overthink.
I'm going to go with the obvious one, the White Sox.
Yes, yes, Chicago White Sox. And finally, okay. 89 Dunruss, Ted.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Power.
Oh, Ted Power. Reds.
No.
That's what I was thinking, too.
He was a Red, right? I'd never heard of Ted Power either. He left the Reds in 87, and then went in 88. He was a Royal and a Tiger, but he's a Tiger on this card. Huh. Ted Power, Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
I never heard. Those were hard.
A long time, too.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. He looks like a Frank Viola almost, kind of, in my opinion, he does. So, yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to kidnap Brent Rooker and bring him back to Kansas City, go for it. This is now your opportunity to do that.
On the way out. A parting gift from Oakland?
Yeah.
You kidnap another player.
Yeah.
Thanks, Skip.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep, Matt Catrano, Royals manager, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio.
We're going to get him in trouble, I think.
Maybe so.
I mean, Bob and Josh said I was supposed to sit in the stands and steal a urinal.
Yeah, at least he avoided that. He's like, I didn't listen to you dummies and get in trouble. And no, I didn't get your text message because I wasn't supposed to be on my phone. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, He's got us taken care of, I think.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, KC-based and female-owned. Century Roofing, CenturyRoofingKC.com. Do you have that Ted Power card, by the way?
Yes, I do.
The birthplace?
Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Oh, is that what said birthplace?
Yeah, well, it says born 1955, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Oh,
okay. Why? Someone texted in and said Abilene, Kansas. I wouldn't have been surprised.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he moved to Abilene.
Maybe grew up in Abilene. I wouldn't be surprised.
He was traded from the Royals to the Tigers for Ray Palacios and Mark Lee.
Okay. Ray Palacios. I remember that name.
Yeah, I do too.
I remember Ted Power too, but it was as a Red. So
I do not remember. He's got one of those great satin jackets. He's got a
Royal.
He's got like a mustache.
Oh, yeah. That's 80s baseball man right there.
Perm.
Yeah.
Like he's perfect 80s baseball man. Yeah.
That's right there. Again, I know we won't, but another team is doing it. We'll get to it next. Show's brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
I just love the random stuff that comes up.
Always know this is going to happen. It just does on the show all the time. I really thought Gene Watson would be the one that would check in and tell us all about Ted Power.
Watson, yes!
But somebody texted in at the end of the segment and said, Ted Power, Abilene, Kansas.
They were like, hey, whatever.
Okay, I need to know more. Baseball card said born in Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Right.
1973 graduate of Abilene High School. Also pitched at K-State. Also now a member of the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame as of, I want to say, last summer or last fall.
I honest to God, have never heard of Ted Power. I know his brother, Kenny.
That's Powers.
Oh.
I remember Ted Power in those Reds days, but
you got me by a couple of years, so of course, I get it.
But of course, he's got like not just one, like every time to Kansas. Of course he does. So yeah, pitched at Abilene, Kansas, and then played at K-State, where he set the single game strikeout record.
At K-State. Yeah. Does he still have the single game strikeout record at K-State?
Not sure. 19. Probably pretty tough to beat.
Wow. I saw KU made the tournament this year, not K-State. I kid. Remember when they had the wrong graphic up?
Member of the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Of course he is.
He pulled
a random baseball card. Of course he's. Yeah, he's got all these ties to Kansas.
Yeah, that Wally Ritchie guy though, I'd never heard of that guy before. Uh-uh, uh-uh. I mean, that was a total nobody for me. Yeah.
Never found that one. All right, again, we're not. I know we're not doing it. I know. I can wish and hope and. The Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
Have a alternate helmet. It's pretty great.
It's pretty awesome. It's really awesome. As Jeff Schwartz quote tweeted, he goes, I love the fact that the NFL is allowing teams to be college now and just go with crazy helmets. So it's great.
It's a purple helmet. It's got a little matte to it. Not a full shine. Right. Matte to it. A gold face mask.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they've turned the Raven forward, I guess.
Well, no, looking forward to looking like it's a side profile now. No, it's not the side profile,
it's
staring at you. Yeah, it's making eye contact with you on the side of the helmet. Yeah,
it's pretty menacing.
Do you like it? Do you like the Raven on there?
Yeah,
I do too. Yeah, I like it.
So they unveiled the Purple Rising alternate helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty great.
Is that going to be like the Blue Wings Rising for KU
the other day?
That's been scrubbed from the internet. I can't find Blue Wings Rising from KU.
The clap video been destroyed.
Yeah, they really have. Right. Catching the blue wings rising. It was like the worst marketing campaign ever. And then K-State said, hold my beer, welcome EcoCat.
Yeah.
And then KU's like, hold my beer, here's the clap video.
I was wondering how you get that
stuff. And then Missouri's
scrubbed.
Like, hold all of our beers, here is the we're bussing in video.
Yeah. But that wasn't university sanctioned.
No,
the bussing in one.
Yeah, no, yeah, the bussing in one is fantastic.
Yeah,
love
so,
it.
So
yeah.
The Ravens unveiling a new purple alternate helmet, and it's pretty great.
I don't know what you think about their uniforms, but I think the Baltimore Ravens uniforms are the most intimidating uniforms in all of sports.
Why so? Just
they look. They scare the hell out of me.
The Raven scares me.
The Raven is scary looking. The colors are scary. Yeah. When they go all black, it's scary. Ray Lewis dancing before a game was always scary. Like, I don't know, man. There's just something about those uniforms that scare the living you know what out of me. Like, it's going to happen about 5 o'clock when I start the cleanse.
Yeah. Night game there is pretty intimidating. Like,
Oh God,
It's dark and it's
And
they if I remember right, they strobed the lights a lot. You know what I mean? Like, to try to make it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Menacing and whatever.
And look, you know, the wire being filmed there doesn't help it. You know, like, it kind of feeds into that whole thing, and they embrace that. Like, it's just an intimidating, scary place to play. And I think their uniforms scare the hell out of me. Like, what other team do you think has scary uniforms where you're like, oh, my God, I'm intimidated by the uniform? Because that helmet with that Raven looking at you with the eyes, you're
it's staring at you. You can't avoid the eye. It's the it's the painting in the in the whatever building Scooby-Doo's.
Yeah, where the eyes are following you.
it's terrifying.
And they always have, like, it's menacing terrifying. Players on defense and, whatnot.
Well, they've lived up to their...
I don't know, dude. I just like their color combinations. I like everything that they do with their uniforms.
Someone says the city of Baltimore scares the bleep out of me.
Yeah, it's true. It is very scary.
Yeah, watch The Wire and you're
That's TV, but you know, we were there a couple of years ago.
Well, that's real.
And we, you know, we drove into Baltimore, into the Inner Harbor, and as we're pulling in, it's lots going on. Somebody was just murdered right there, like minutes before we got there.
It's a tough city. Tough city.
Yeah.
So another alternate helmet coming to another team.
Yeah.
From the 816 points out, we're not telling them to change the uniform, just asking for one alternate uniform to wear once or twice a year.
That's it.
I'm with you.
That's it, Miles. Yeah. That's all we want.
I'm not looking at a rebrand. Just, you know, you got the opportunity to do a little something different.
Right.
Do a little something different.
Like, how about we talked about it last week, the ice white with the Vikings.
I really like that, except for the bad sticker placement.
It was a bad sticker placement. I mean,
they took 5 seconds to slap the sticker on the helmet
before
they put it on social media. But other than that,
it's icy. It's frosty, baby.
Just a little.
I mean, you know.
Just a smidge. Just every once in a while.
Go matte black. Mm. Go matte white. You know, just something different to get the fans excited. Could you imagine if the Chiefs rolled out an alternate helmet for a game? Like for the Black Friday game, right? After Thanksgiving. Let's do something special. Matte black helmet, red arrowhead, red KC, all black uniforms, red numbers, no yellow.
Mm. Menacing. Some says, aren't teams just frayed enough when the Chiefs were all red and 15 comes out? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
From the 913, MU also had the how to cheer at football games
that's
video. That's another good hold your beer moment. Yeah.
They did. Yeah. When there's a first down, you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all had that. Yeah, the menacing Raven. All right. Kansas met yesterday.
Yep. Officially today, they gaveled in the special session, Josh. It just happened.
Oh, and right now?
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of like the stock market opened?
Yeah, something like that. Mm. Yeah, they had Clark there gaveling it in. No, I kid. Wow. Could you imagine that?
Wow.
Could you imagine if Clark Hunt there was gaveling in the special session of the Topeka Congress?
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
Do those people have to travel in, like, from Western Kansas on horse and buggy for this?
No, they build lanes now.
They do? Okay.
Yeah, there's like three lanes on in all the time.
There is, okay.
That's how you get roads built. That particular jurisdiction's person needs a quick way in.
Because back in the day, the guy from like Garden City had a gallop in on a horse, right? It took him days to get there.
Yeah. They would wait till they got there.
Open
the session.
Oh, God, yes. And the guy from Hayes had a walk.
Yeah.
That doesn't go on anymore?
I don't think so. Right. I think they all drive in just fine.
Okay.
On the many nice roads
leading
into your city. So they Kansas actually met yesterday. It felt like that, like another event, another line has been drawn, other whatever details. So the Starbonds proposal, which currently pays for 50% of a new construction, they're proposing that they could up it to 70%.
Yeah. Now there was talk at 75% at one point, but they dropped it to 70, right? Hey, you got to pick up your end of the bargain as well, Clark. Okay. We're not paying for everything over here. Right. But we'll pay for 1.4 of the $2 billion stadium, right?
Which so be estimated like a dome stadium.
Right. And that's what the attorney for the Chiefs said yesterday. They're looking at a $2 billion price tag for that dome retractable roof stadium. That will also include 20,000 parking spots, not to ruin tailgating, which is very important to the culture of Kansas City and the culture of football. That's what you want. Right. You still want the ability to go out there and tailgate. So it's 70% of $2 billion. That's $1.4 billion that the state will pick up. The rest has to come from the Chiefs or, you know, private investment, $600 million, whatever the case may be. Also, I'm asking you, do not kill the messenger. I'm just reporting what I've heard, what we know, what people are saying. And this one comes from Dave DeMarco at Channel 4. Attorney representing Chiefs speaking to Kansas legislatures, encouraging them to revamp Starbond for stadium projects. Quote, Missouri spoke, Jackson County spoke, they had their opportunity. That's coming from the attorney representing the Kansas City Chiefs. That ain't coming from Bob Fesco.
That's correct.
The only thing that's coming from me is we told you this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to believe
And then Clark Hunt, if you didn't hear the it loud enough, basically told you at the ring ceremony, we're listening to everybody.
Yeah.
It's open. We're listening to everybody.
As they should. So that's what's going on in the state of Kansas. Meanwhile, in the state of Missouri, I'm being told, they're trying to get like a 3/16 sales tax instead of a 3/8 sales tax just for the Chiefs in Jackson County. That would essentially be for a 25-year lease extension with renovations. However, I'm told from folks over there that Jackson County is open to discussing everything, right? It's an open, let's have a discussion. Let's see where we can go. The Royals not quite involved in any of this right now. I did talk to somebody yesterday who said they were going to start the conversations, hopefully with the Royals soon, to see what's going to happen with them. And then Joe calls yesterday.
Steak, egg, and cheese, bring backer Joe.
That's right. Calls me yesterday.
Yes, friend of the show.
That's right.
Yes.
He says, I'm listening to CDOT. I like listening to CDOT. I said, yeah, so does my wife. She doesn't like listening to us. And he said, he goes, I got to be honest with you. He goes, I kind of checked out. I thought the stadium stuff was over right now.
That's your bad, Joe.
Right?
Oh, we wish, Joe.
Yeah, we wish, right?
Everybody wishes.
Right?
Yeah.
He goes, why can't we just make this pretty simple? Each state gets a team. Each state pays for a new stadium, and everyone wins, and everybody pays. I go, it's a genius idea.
Of course. He goes, it's too logical.
And Joe lives out in Blue Springs, grew up in Grain Valley. He's an Eastern Jack guy. He says, the Chiefs belong in Kansas. The Royals belong in downtown. Done. Let's move forward. I go, I don't have an argument with that at all. I think that's how it should play out.
Except for somebody in Missouri who's saying, I don't want to lose the Chiefs and the Royals can go get whatever.
Right.
So pick one, right?
But you're not, and that's where Joe comes into. He goes, these people who say we're losing a team because one goes to, they're stupid, he said. I go, it's hard to argue that. They're not leaving the metro area. Who gives a rip what side of the state line these stadiums are on? Like, it's time for Kansas to start paying some of the freight on this. Why should Missouri and Jackson County residents be burdened with paying for two new stadiums?
I'd be interested to see, though, if, because now there's a 3/16?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That Manny Abarca's proposed.
Yeah.
Another friend of the show, Jackson County legislator, 3/16 sales tax for Chiefs only,
right,
in Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
With a term for renovations.
Yeah, but why would you want to invest more money? Like, at this point in time, if you're the Hunt family and you're going to invest hundreds of millions of dollars,
because they may still want to be there.
And there is talk about that too.
Right?
Yes, but I don't think that's the right move.
I think
that's a waste of Jackson County taxpayer money to renovate Arrowhead.
I think there's still this is where we built it. This is where we want to be.
Right.
So
But
I would think renovating would become more and more difficult with each passing day.
And as I told somebody yesterday, I said, if they end up doing this and they do renovate it in 25 years, then we're back here in 25 years having these same conversations again about what to do. And at that point, I said, that ain't going to be my problem then.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you say who cares where it's at? I mean, if you're in the camp of this is just going to cost us money, whatever. Who cares? If you're in the camp of, well, it is a tax generation revenue producing, blah, blah. It's beneficial to our.
Yeah.
You care about where it's at.
Right.
And I think you should care about where it's at. Ultimately, I don't care because I want it to be in the metro.
Right.
And whichever gives them the best deal, I think we're to that stage where whoever presents the best deal is probably going to win. And hopefully that whatever tax municipality that is, that's also a good deal for those involved there.
Sure.
That's all I'm rooting for. But I could see that, like, hey, I want them here because there is a tax benefit, and I can appreciate that there is a tax benefit to having this franchise in my jurisdiction. Absolutely.
Sure.
I'm 100% with you on that. I'm just in the camp of, hey, as long as they're not escaping the general metro, I don't really care.
Right. That's where I am. And I love the fact that we could potentially have a stadium on each side of the state line to make everybody pay because – since these teams have been here, Kansas has freeloaded off this.
And I'm firmly in favor of a retractable roof.
I am too.
I think that
because
is,
of what it can do for
I
the city.
I think that is most beneficial for the community.
Yeah.
So.
Because again, if you're investing in renovations in 25 years, well, you're not going to be renovating anymore. Then you're really going to need to build. And what's a new stadium going to cost in 25 years? $4 billion?
Well, it'll also levitate above the earth at that point in time.
That's true. It'll fly.
It'll be able to fly.
Like they could fly and land wherever they want that day for the game. That today we want to play in Missouri.
That sounds dangerous. Boom. That sounds dangerous.
We got a Ted Power update from Gene Watson.
Of course. He has a Ted Power story.
Watson,
I knew that. Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. Oh, James is on that button today.
His son's father-in-law was on the same team as Ted Power.
Gene's son's
father-in-law.
Father-in-law
played with Ted Powers.
So this is a direct. I mean, this is a pretty good link.
Yeah,
that's within.
Yeah, that's six degrees of separation from Gene Watson.
Gene Watson. It happened.
Watson.
Again.
Yes.
He bought in, and he didn't really have to. We'll discuss next. Back in, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyIQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We talked to Matt Cotrero to start the hour today. Normally joins us on a Wednesday. We're off tomorrow, so he dropped by today. And I was thinking about this. You asked him about Salvador Perez seemingly being rejuvenated. And I got thinking about it and like, yeah, he didn't have to. Wasn't all that long ago. We're debating. I'm sure internally they were debating to a certain extent. Like, if we're not ready, we got to move south.
Oh, we were talking about it last year. Right. I said, you got to trade this guy. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't listen to me.
Yeah. And if he wasn't bought in, we've seen that happen before. And it's not a knock on Zach Greinke.
Right.
But when Greinke was dealt, he was winning. The rest of them weren't.
Right.
Basically,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He wasn't willing to pull on the rope. Because, like, I'm at a stage, this team's not, I got to go.
Right.
And I didn't fault him for that at the time. Like, if you aren't pulling the rope, see ya. And that's when they ended up dealing Zach Greinke. It all worked out. It was great. Like, Salvi could have been at that exact phase where it's like, I know you're building. I know you think you're still a little ways away. But I ain't getting any younger over here.
Right.
I've experienced this. I want to experience it again. You let me go.
Right.
Or he could have also been at the phase of, as Skip mentioned, he goes, yeah, you know, he's really blended well. Some of these guys are, you know, 10 years younger than him.
Right.
He could be at the phase where he's like, yeah, I don't want these kids.
Yeah, I'm done.
I've been through this all before. Like, right. I'm really going to, they don't want to hear about the glory days and I don't want to do what they're doing. So if he doesn't buy in as well to them, that could be a problem. And it's been the absolute reverse. I mean, they've feels like they've given him the fountain of youth.
Yeah, no doubt. He looks like he's got the fountain of youth. He looks like he's in his prime right now instead of towards the end of his career. But I will say this. When we were talking about trading Salvi last year, right? And I think this is where all of us now had to see what JJ and what John Sherman were going to do, right? We didn't know a year ago that this team being as bad as they were, that they were going to have 17 new players come in.
Right. Based if they ran on, it back.
Right. Based on what we've seen in the past with this organization, there's never been a changeover like that or a willingness to go out and spend money when they maybe weren't ready to spend money or whatever the case may be. Like, we never saw the old ownership do a change of personnel on their roster like we saw the Royals do this offseason. And so a year ago, I don't think it was out of line to say you probably should trade Salvi.
Maximize Salvi, do it for him.
Right.
Gets stuff back in return, you're not ready.
Right, because everything that we've seen from this organization for the better part of 20 years was they weren't going to do something like that. But that's where you got to appreciate John Sherman. He wasn't going to stand for that anymore. Okay, we had the evaluation season. All you guys suck. Find somewhere else to go. And they did that. And what really shows, I think, in my opinion anyway, about what John Sherman is going to be like as an owner and what you can say about John Sherman as an owner, they were paying that Lyles guy, right? Who I don't even know where he is anymore. They were paying that guy a lot of money. What, $4 or $5 million, right?
Hasn't come back,
yeah. Right? So in years past, he would have been grandfathered into the starting rotation because they were paying him. John Sherman was openly rooting for Alec Marsh to win the job in spring training. Like, if that doesn't tell you the vision and the way that John Sherman's going to run this organization, I don't know what does. And you got to love that way, right? They're not making decisions based on guys that are making money. They're making decisions based on what's best to win baseball games.
Yeah. I just think Salvi is such a huge key. Could go one way or another. I'm not saying he's a bad guy and, you know, attitude would have been a problem or whatever, but he could have gone either way. I'm buying in these young kids and I'm believing that I'm here. They may be ready, but I'm
right.
They may be ready in a bit, but I'm ready now. I got to go. And it seems like that obviously they have almost like won him over.
Right.
Like he's one of our guys too.
Right.
Like he's literally spanning the generations of Royals baseball. The winning one we remember in 14 and 15.
Right.
And this group.
Right.
And he's fitting in both.
Right. Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
And if he doesn't do that or can't do that, or they don't feel like he could do that, where you at?
Right.
You need Salvi on this rope.
Right.
And without Salvi on this rope too, I don't think you're where you're at this year. Right.
Right. You're not here right now.
Rejuvenated Salvi is not who he is right now.
Right.
All-star, you know, was leading hitting for a month.
Right.
You aren't off to the start that you're off to now.
And not only off to a great start, but solidifying why he's a Hall of Famer too. And
I
I thought coming into this season, I thought, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer in my opinion. I'm biased, obviously. It was all about convincing, you know, the Rosenthals of the world that he's a Hall of Famer, all the writers with bow ties to get the vote. And so Salvi this year, I think, based on the way that he's played, has sent a message to all the bow tie wearing writers that he is a Hall of Famer. Because you're seeing people now, Josh, all over baseball come out and say, yeah, Salvi's a Hall of Famer. And people aren't questioning it anymore. They're saying, yeah, Salvi is a Hall of Famer. And that's what this season, even if the Royals don't make the postseason, which I think they will, but even if they don't, this season fully established Salvi is a Hall of Famer and got him back into the eyes of the national media who really haven't paid attention to the Royals since 15.
Correct. Like, oh yeah, Salvi's over doing this thing. Oh wait, let me see what he's doing in terms of other catchers all time. Oh,
right.
Yeah, he's doing just fine.
Right.
Oh, okay. No, he's on the track. All right, cool. And he's still Salvi at his age and suddenly catching better and doing not to mention, he is way better at first than I thought he'd ever be.
I agree. Like, he may be better than Vinny.
Like, you thought, okay, they're going to put him over at first just to give him day off and you're going to live with what he can do at first.
He's really good.
He's really good at first.
Yeah.
So I'm just amazed by the Salvi transition and all.
It's
this
been
too.
Fantastic.
It's been awesome to see because I thought he'd be maybe at best a part of a team that had a bunch of young guys willing to win, not still smack dab in the middle of the whole freaking thing.
Right.
Which is awesome.
It's great, man. And kind of leading the charge.
Let's get game one started. All right.
Take care of the A's.
Get a win of the A's. We're off tomorrow back on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll call you from the throne.
Any of the show today, you can check it out, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app, including our chat with Matt Cotrero. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold are next on 610 Sports Radio.
Side of the state line to make everybody pay, because since these teams have been here, Kansas has freeloaded off this.
And I'm firmly in favor of a retractable roof.
I am too. I think that because of what it can do for the city.
I think that is most beneficial for the community.
Yeah.
So.
Because again, if you're investing in renovations in 25 years, well, you're not going to be renovating anymore. Then you're really going to need to build. And what's a new stadium going to cost in 25 years? $4
billion? Well, it'll also levitate above the earth at that point in
time. That's true. It'll fly.
It'll be able to fly.
Like, they could fly and land wherever they want that day for the game. Not today, we want to play in Missouri.
That sounds dangerous. Boom. That sounds dangerous.
We got a Ted Power update from Gene Watson.
Of course, he has a Ted Power story.
Watson,
I knew that.
Yeah. Yes!
Yeah. Oh, James is on that button today.
His son's father-in-law was on the same team as Ted Power.
Gene's son's
father-in-law.
Father-in-law
played with Ted Power.
Or so this is a direct. This is a pretty good link.
Yeah,
that's within.
Yeah. That's six that's, degrees of separation that's from Gene Watson.
It happened
Watson,
again.
Watson, yes!
He bought in, and he didn't really have to. We'll discuss next. Back in, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyIQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. We talked to Matt Cotrero to start the hour today. Normally joins us on a Wednesday. We're off tomorrow, so he dropped by today. And I was thinking about this. You asked him about Salvador Perez seemingly being rejuvenated. And I got thinking about it, and he didn't have to. It wasn't all that long ago. We're debating. I'm sure internally they were debating to a certain extent. Like, if we're not ready, I got to move some.
Oh, we were talking about it last year. I said, you got to trade this guy. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't listen to me.
Yeah. And if he wasn't bought in, we've seen that happen before. And it's not a knock on Zach Greinke.
Right.
But when Greinke was dealt, he was winning. The rest of them weren't.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He wasn't willing to pull on the rope because, I'm at a stage, this team's not, I got to go.
Right.
And I didn't fault him for that at the time. Like, if you aren't pulling the rope, see ya. And that's when they ended up dealing Zach Greinke. It all worked out. It was great. Like, Salvi could have been at that exact phase where it's like, I know you're building, I know you think you're still a little ways away, but I ain't getting any younger over here.
Right.
I've experienced this, I want to experience it again. You let me go.
Right.
Or he could have also been at the phase of, as Skip mentioned, he goes, he's really blended well. Some of these guys are, 10 years younger than him.
Right.
He could be at the phase where he's like, I don't want these kids.
Yeah, I'm done.
I've been through this all before. Like, I'm really going to, they don't want to hear about the glory days, and I don't want to do what they're doing. So if he doesn't buy in as well to them, that could be a problem. And it's been the absolute reverse. I mean, it feels like they've given him the fountain of youth.
Yeah, no doubt. He looks like he's got the fountain of youth. He looks like he's in his prime right now instead of towards the end of his career. But I will say this. When we were talking about trading Salvi last year, right? And I think this is where all of us now had to see what JJ and what John Sherman were going to do, right? We didn't know a year ago that this team being as bad as they were, that they were going to have 17 new players come in.
Right.
Based on what we've seen in the past with this organization, there's never been a changeover like that or a willingness to go out and spend money when they maybe weren't ready to spend money or whatever the case may be. Like, we never saw the old ownership do a change of personnel on their roster like we saw the Royals do this offseason. And so a year ago, I don't think it was out of line to say you probably should trade Salvi.
Maximize Salvi, do it for him.
Right.
Gets stuff back in return, you're not ready.
Right, because everything that we've seen from this organization for the better part of 20 years was they weren't going to do something like that. But that's where you got to appreciate John Sherman. He wasn't going to stand for that anymore. Okay, we had the evaluation season. All you guys suck. Find somewhere else to go. And they did that. And what really shows, I think, in my opinion anyway, about what John Sherman is going to be like as an owner and what you can say about John Sherman as an owner, they were paying that Lyles guy, right, who I don't even know where he is anymore. They were paying that guy a lot of money, what, $4 or $5 million, right?
Hasn't come back,
yeah. Right? So in years past, he would have been grandfathered into the starting rotation because they were paying him. John Sherman was openly rooting for Alec Marsh to win the job in spring training. Like, if that doesn't tell you the vision and the way that John Sherman's going to run this organization, I don't know what does. And you got to love that way, right? They're not making decisions based on guys that are making money. They're making decisions based on what's best to win baseball games.
Yeah. I just think Salvi is such a huge, huge key. Could go one way or another. I'm not saying he's a bad guy and, you know, attitude would have been a problem or whatever, but he could have gone either way. I'm buying into these young kids and I'm believing that I'm here. Yeah, they may be ready, but I'm
right.
They may be ready in a bit, but I'm ready now. I gotta go. And it seems like that obviously they have almost like won him over.
Right.
Like he's one of our guys too.
Right.
Like he's literally spanning the generations of Royals baseball. The winning one we remember in 14 and 15.
Right.
And this group.
Right.
And he's fitting in both.
Right. Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
And if he doesn't do that or can't do that, or they don't feel like he could do that, where you at?
Right.
You need Salvi on this rope.
Right.
And without Salvi on this rope too, I don't think you're where you're at this year. Right.
Right. You're not here right now.
If rejuvenated Salvi is not who he is right now, all-star, you know, was leading hitting for a month.
Right.
You aren't off to the start that you're off to now.
And not only off to a great start, but solidifying why he's a Hall of Famer too. And I thought coming into this season, I thought, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer in my opinion. I'm biased, obviously. It was all about convincing, you know, the Rosenthals of the world that he's a Hall of Famer, all the writers with bow ties to get the vote. And so Salvi this year, I think based on the way that he's played, has sent a message to all the bow tie wearing writers that he is a Hall of Famer. Cause you're seeing people now, Josh, all over baseball come out and say, yeah, Salvi's a Hall of Famer. And people aren't questioning it anymore. They're saying, yeah, Salvi is a Hall of Famer. And that's what this season, even if the Royals don't make the postseason, which I think they will, but even if they don't, this season fully established Salvi is a Hall of Famer and got him back into the eyes of the national media who really haven't paid attention to the Royals since 15.
Correct. Like, oh, yeah, Salvi's over doing this thing. Oh, wait, let me see what he's doing in terms of other catchers all time. Oh,
right.
Yeah, he's doing just fine.
Right.
Oh, okay, no, he's on the track. All right, cool. And he's still Salvi at his age and suddenly catching better and doing not to mention, he is way better at first than I thought he'd ever be.
I agree. Like, he may be better than Vinny.
Like, you thought, okay, they're going to put him over at first just to give him day off, and you're going to live with what he can do at first.
He's really good.
He's really good at first.
Yeah.
So, I'm just amazed by the Salvi transition and all
this. It's been fantastic.
It's been awesome to see because, I thought he'd be maybe at best a part of a team that had a bunch of young guys willing to win, not still smack dab in the middle of the whole freaking thing.
Right.
Which is awesome.
It's great, man. And kind of leading the charge.
Let's get game one started. All right.
Take care of the A's.
Get a win of the A's. We're off tomorrow back on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll call you from the throne.
Any of the show today, you can check it out, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app, including our chat with Matt Cotrero. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold are next on 610 Sports Radio.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.